Hi, I'm Guy Smith. I'm at Lola Cars at the moment. You'll hear more of me later in the show. Now over to John.
Thanks, Guy, and welcome to a Midweek Motorsport special. Yes, it's that time of year again when we take our annual pre-season look behind the scenes at what's going on at Lola. Well, Huntingdon is only 20 miles away from Hindhoff Towers, so it was an easy journey for me across the A14 to meet, first of all, with Sam Smith, who greeted me in the corridor just outside the main portion of the building. So we're staring the new season in the face. Sam, how busy has it been since season's end, shall we say, as we walk into the assembly area here at Lola at Huntingdon? Have you had an off season?
No, is the honest answer. It's been as busy as the Sunderland 6-yard box on Saturday, I think, John.
Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, well, it's been incredible. We have, since October, been absolutely flat out. Flat out on car builds, update kits, wind tunnel programs. Every department within Lola has been absolutely flat out.
The good news is that's because you seem to be the chassis of choice for privateers. How many new chassis have you actually constructed and turned out, or will you have by the time of the start of the season?
Nine. We'll have done nine. So we've got two more on order as well. So ultimately, by the end of the start of the season, we will have done 11 cars.
And how does that break down in terms of P1 and P2?
What I can tell you is that we did two for Dyson Racing, two new, brand new LMP1 cars, which is designated as the B1260, and that's going to be a very different looking car, and we should be able to release some images of that next week. We did two cars for the Gulf Middle East team, which they took delivery last week and tested at Magny-Cours for a couple of days. We also did two for the Team Lotus LMP2 outfit, and one of those has gone to Germany, the other you can see here, which we're getting ready, which I believe is going to be used as a spare car. And we have done another one for Status Grand Prix, which is seven. Two others I can't tell you about.
God, there's a smile on his face. Is that P1 or P2? Can you tell me that?
I can't tell you anything. I don't even want to go on one of your trying to extract clues out of me for that.
And I'm just going to get the burner out on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah. No, we've got some more exciting announcements to come this spring. And yeah, I mean it's extremely buoyant at the moment, especially when you consider that the economy is supposed to be in such a state. We're building cars and selling quite a lot of cars.
Nice mix of existing customers coming back again, like Dyson, and new people as well coming into the marketplace and choosing Lola. That must fill everybody here, and particularly Martin at the top of the tree, with a certain sense of achievement.
I think it does. Yeah, I mean it's not easy to sell these cars, as we've said in the past. It's a very tough market, very competitive throughout P1 and P2. I think really what people can see is the development that goes into the cars year by year. LMP1 and P2, we have had exhaustive projects going on in the wind tunnel on our shaker rig, and in terms of the actual construction of the car, you know, we're looking at different materials all the time. And we've also got a lot of developments in, such as the suspension geometry and some of the mechanicals of the car as well. So as an all-round package, we were able to say to the prospective customers and existing customers, look, you know, this is what we're going to do, we're committed to doing it, and let's see how we can work into the future, and for sure we are.
Now, we've talked about this in the past, that in terms of being a racing car manufacturer, the difference between yourselves here at Lola and, say, an OEM is you've got to satisfy a number of different engine options. So out of those nine cars that you can tell me about, how many different engine options have we been looking at there? Obviously, we know AER for Dyson. And has it been all Judd's for the others?
No, it hasn't. No, we've done two AER installations. We've done two Nissan installations. And of course the Judd installation for the Lotus, which is going to be badged as a Lotus this year, this season. And the others I can't talk about.
Is that a different engine though? It might be.
It could possibly be, but I'm not obliged to comment further.
You're not obliged to, but I'm going to take you outside and beat you up after this interview. So the future looks rosy in terms of the here and now, at least. How are we looking medium and longer term here at Lola? And what's the... I mean, are we already starting to think about the next set of regulations, which we're still waiting for, of course?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our guys have been in the wind tunnel post-design, if you like, looking at further updates for further along the season. You know, it's a World Endurance Championship this year. the inaugural championship, everyone's going to be upping their game in every single department. And we realise that, you know, once you're on the back foot, you know, you, as Jeffrey Boycott would say, you really are in the corridor of uncertainty, and we don't want to be there. So we're taking the initiative. We have got further updates that we're working on. The guys are in the wind tunnel. All our R&D facilities have been maximised now for potentially a new car for 2014. You know, that's been evaluated at the moment, but we can't say we are going to do one. We're going to evaluate it this season, see how things are going. You know, we're constantly talking to manufacturers about the possibility of what we can do in the future. It's just that, you know, if that spark ignites, it has done with Toyota and it has done with other manufacturers recently. We anticipate that more will come on board when they see what a great product the FIA and the ACO have delivered with a new championship this year, and we've got to be ready for that.
Does the fact that we don't have a definitive set of regulations for 2014, which is when we believe they'll be put on, although there's plenty of rumours that say that people like Toyota and Audi are saying, and Porsche, who are due in at that stage, are saying, if we don't get them soon, we can't do 2014, guys. It'll be at least a year after that. Does that, as a company of this size, despite being a specialist racing car company, does that cause you guys problems, and does it cause you guys sleepless nights?
I think the engineers always want to know in advance what they're going to build. 2014 sounds a long way away, but it really isn't in terms of getting the whole program. I mean, you've been around here, you've seen the different departments, what it takes to make these fabulous cars. You need a lot of time to...
That's 2014 cars on the track, so that means they've got to be running in 13, don't they?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it'd be wrong for me to give you a definitive answer at this stage, because negotiations are still taking place, yes, with the technical working group and with the FIA and the ACO on that, and Julian Sowell, our chief designer, is, you know, an integral part of those discussions. So I would think between now and Le Mans there'll be a lot more information on what's going to happen in terms of specifics for 2014.
Sam Smith clearly pointing me towards some questions for the designers at Huntingdon, and who better to answer those queries than the head of design, Julian Sowell. And I will be putting those questions to him in just a few moments. But first, let's find out the major differences on the new 2012 Lola offering and how it's improved from the cars we've seen doing so well for a variety of Lola customers. Julian Sowell is the chief designer here at Lola, and you've been busy boy, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been flat out this winter doing all kinds of cars, especially the LMP1 that's here now. Guys have been busy in the wind tunnel doing the development work for the car, so yeah, it's coming together well.
We talk about evolution rather than revolution as far as this car's concerned. Is that reasonable, or am I not delving far enough into it?
We always evolve our cars. It's a progression of design, so we carry on evolving them. It keeps the customers in the Lolas. It enables them to update them, which as a customer car is quite important. So yes, we always try and evolve them.
You mentioned the aero work. I mean, that's clearly been so important over the last decade and a half or so, and massive strides have been taken in that area. Any particular areas, without giving away trade secrets, that you guys have been looking at, and do you feel as though you've come up with a better solution for the 2012 car?
Well, obviously we had a rule change this year, so we got new fin and new holes in the wheel arches, so that brings a whole new challenge, because when you make a rule change, it changes the aero of the car. So first thing is sort of working on those new areas and those changes. So we've been involving that in the wind tunnel here at Lola. That's been sort of the main thing, but there's always work. You know, we're always moving the aero forward, and as you say, it's the most important part of the race car.
The rules changes, which gave you the most problems, shall we say? There was horrible holes in the top of the wings, which makes the cars look awful. There's the horrible wing fin thing on the back, which make the cars look awful. But underneath, there's some changes as well in terms of things going on in the underneath the rear wheel arches and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, once you put the holes in the wheel arches, that's probably the most challenging. It's quite a big change to the aerodynamics, although it looks just like a plain hole. But once you cut a hole like that, it does affect the aero performance and the balance of the car quite significantly. So, yeah, the work you do to bring that back to where you were before the change, is obviously quite critical.
From an aerodynamicist point of view, What was that rules change hoping to achieve from the ACO and the FIA?
So the real change is stability of the cars, particularly when they go sideways. So when a car loses control and it turns sideways, it's been done to stop the cars lifting up off the ground and taking off. The work we've done in CFD, it seems to be a very positive change. So it looks like a good step forward. It's always good to keep moving the safety of the cars forward. So,
absolutely, and nobody's going to decry that. It's always interesting to hear someone who's got to put it into practice to see how the situation has worked. Now, looking slightly further ahead, Julian, you're part of the working party that looks at rules going forward for the ACO and the FIA. Would you a new set of rules for 2014? How easy or difficult is it for a manufacturer the size of Lola to react to those things, and how important, therefore, is it for those rules to come out as early as possible?
You can never have rules early enough. The development work that has to go with a new set of rules, however big the rule change is, it's always key to get them as soon as we can. Allows us to plan our development and actually get developing the cars, get an early car laid out and start to work towards it, rather than having a last minute change, which is really awkward.
And in that scenario, you as a representing an independent manufacturer, do you have as much say, is your voice heard as much as say the OEMs of, well, Peugeot aren't there anymore, but Toyota, Audi, etc.?
I hope so. Yes, I hope we have something to add to the the meetings that we go to. They're always very interesting. There's lots of different views, but they're good. We'll see how the rules turn out.
Do you feel that everybody almost has their own agenda though when they go to things like that? Because clearly, everyone has an end game, and the end game is winning races.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult because, as you say, safety is always key on all of our minds. We always want to keep the sport under control. No one wants a ridiculously expensive car. So I think, generally they're well looked after by the FIA and the ACO. So I think they're good, constructive rule meetings. I don't know. We're all trying to get our own cars up the field, so... Yeah, we all have our piece to say.
And looking further forward and maybe taking a step back from that, the next set of regulations, again, without giving you any trade secrets, we keep hearing people say that they're going to be a massive, massive change and that prototypes won't look the same. Do you feel that is the way that things are going? Or, again, given the cost implications, do you think a quiet evolution is more likely?
I think it's too early to say. We'll wait and see what comes out of the rules. Hopefully we'll have a set of rules sometime in the near future. We'll be able to know more then.
And a final word on what's going on here at Huntingdon. Not unique in race car manufacturers, but certainly different for Lola, is that you have to deal with a variety of engine installations and things like that. It's been a busy year for you guys. You've had a number of different engines go into the back of your cars. Does that mean that somewhere along the line there has to be a slight amount of compromise?
We try and keep the compromises to a minimum. If you design for a single engine, then there's no doubt about it, it makes your life easier. The actual performance compromises, it really depends what the package that's brought to us is. So I think we're fairly fortunate that the engine companies that we've worked with, past and present, have all been fairly good companies to work with, so they've all brought new challenges, but acceptable challenges. So we try and do our best to minimize those compromises.
And the WEC this year with six cars, Lola cars, in it as it stands, seven at the moment at Le Mans, possibly another couple you've got sitting on the sharp end of the reserve list. A world championship, does that get the juices flowing a little bit more, even as in on the design team?
Yeah, I think it's got to be great, hasn't it, to go further afield and actually have a world championship. So, yeah, there's a good presence from Lola in that, and hopefully we'll have a couple more entries at Le Mans on top of the ones we already have. But, yeah, I think it'll be really good and exciting.
Isn't it a refreshing change to hear that as we get ready for a brand new season of motorsport, of sports car racing, that even the design team at Lola are really excited about what is to come in 2012. Interesting comments from Julian there, particularly, I thought, on the current and future regulations. Good news, it seems, for Lola as regards to sales and marketing. But what of that other and most important constituent part of the race car, the driving experience? Well, Guy Smith is uniquely placed to comment on that, having driven Lola products for quite some time and for a number of different teams. It was a successful 2011 for the Yorkshireman. What's he been doing since the end of the season? Guy, a very short off-season. How much of it was actually off and out of season for you?
Yeah, not too much, John, actually. I've got three daughters under the age of five, so as you can probably imagine, it's been pretty manic, especially over Christmas time. But it's been great. I had some busman's holiday time, doing some rallying with my Mark 1 Escort. I did the Roger Albert Clark in November, which was great fun. But yeah, really excited to get back at it again this year. I'm looking forward to Sebring, which obviously is fast approaching. And yeah, can't wait to get back at it.
The listeners would string me up by very important parts of my body if I didn't ask you about the Mark 1 and the Roger Albert Clark. You're no stranger to rallying. You've done it before in a variety of machinery, both road rally and tarmac stage rallying. The Roger Albert Clark it's a classic event, and I mean that in every sense of the word. What was it like this year, or last year, should I say?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I really love the rally, and I mean, it really is just, first and foremost, it's for fun. My dad does it too, and you know, we kind of rally against each other, which is great fun. And I first started going to rally car, or a historic rally car, probably about 4 years ago, and you know, I just really enjoy it. I get to do probably three or four rallies at the end of each season, and obviously the Roger Albert Clark, and I really think it's making me a better racing driver. I mean, I'm completely out of my comfort zone, and because I'm out of my comfort zone, it's really making me think about what I'm doing. And but it's been great. I mean, the last year's Roger Albert Clark, or sorry, should I say 2010 Roger Albert Clark, was a lot of snow. I mean, big snow, and that was a real experience and a real challenge. But I was really, you know, pleased to be a part of it. And unfortunately, didn't quite make it to the end. Crashed out on the final day. This year was slightly better. I was running inside the top 10 on the last day, and had a small off on the final stage, but got back going again and finished 10th. So my aim was to finish in the top 10, and managed to do that. But just really, really good fun.
What's the spec of the car then?
It's a Mark 1. It's 1972, I believe. It's a Pinto engine. But it's a lovely, lovely car. I mean, I can't believe that the car's older than me and how well it goes. It's really surprising. But
was it originally a rally car, or is it one of these that have, you know, someone's found a shell and done it up for you?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much that's how they start off these days. What they do is they usually find it in some old barn somewhere and take the shell and pretty much build a brand new car out of it. I mean, they re-weld it, they put the cage in, and I mean, just basically it's like a brand new shell. And then everything else that goes onto it is period, but of course it's brand new because you can't get the period parts anymore. So effectively it is a brand new car.
It's a brand new old car.
Exactly, a brand new old car. But it's great. I mean, you know, there's Lancia Stratos is out there. There's obviously the Mark 1s, the Mark 2s, Porsches. So there's a real mix of cars. And
rear wheel drive, of course, for you in that car. And what you're running on, twin 45s or something like that?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we have twin 45s. We run Dunlop tyres, which is what we use in the American Le Mans series. So keeping faithful to those guys. And as I say, John, it's just a really good atmosphere. I mean, obviously, you know, the racing that we do on a day-to-day basis is obviously professional and quite, in some respects, quite tense, or there's a fair amount of pressure. But the rallying, it's like going back to the old karting days. You know, everyone rocks up and, you know, you're having a sausage sandwich between stages and, you know, living on chocolate bars for the weekend. But no, it's just really good, and it's a really good camaraderie. Obviously, you have a co-driver and you kind of, you know, feel like it's a bit like having a, in sports car racing, having a co-driver. You kind of got that camaraderie, you're in it together, and you're sort of sharing stories and talking about the stage and the you know, the sort of near misses that you've had. It's just a really good vibe, and I really enjoy doing it.
Let's bring you back to the day job. As you said, managed to get away from the girls at home now that the season started, get some rest. Yeah. We've had that conversation before. Back with Dyson again in the American Le Mans series, and a very exciting season that looks to be as well, with two brand new chassis rolling out of here at Huntingdon for the team, and a chance to go to Le Mans with the team as well this year, which hasn't been there before. That's something quite exciting.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the plan. I mean, obviously, I think the cards have kind of fallen just right for this year. Obviously, with our success last year, it was great. The fact that we've got, say, two of the new Lola cars, which I have to say look stunning. And I think just the way the rules have fallen, I think Dyson have never done a Le Mans before, but have always had an interest in doing it. And certainly Chris is very keen on that. And I think that
he's been before, of course, hasn't he? He drove with RML a couple of years ago, so he's actually got a bit of the fever for it.
That's right. I mean, he was with RML a couple of years ago, and I think his first time was with the Dome with the Jan Lammers, and he's got a great. I mean, anybody I think that goes to Le Mans cannot fall in love. You know, cannot not fall in love with the place. And I think Chris is very much of that sense. But I just think that this year, with the way that it's fallen, the time was right for them to make that trip to Le Mans. A very, very well-established sports car team, as we know. And I think having Le Mans as part of that history is important to them. And I think we should have a good opportunity. I think, obviously with the Mazda engine, I think it proved its worth last year in the America Le Mans Series. It was fast, it was reliable. And I think that the time is right for them now to go back and prove to people in Europe just how good that little engine is.
And is it roughly speaking, I'm not asking by any stretch of the imagination to give any technical details or any trade secrets away, but is that roughly speaking the same engine as last year? Because there was some speculation during the closed season that there might be a new engine, something radically different. I can see that that's a 2-litre four-cylinder that's sitting in the back of that car, so we know that the configuration's the same, but that's roughly speaking the same spec of engine you had last year.
Yeah, roughly speaking. I mean, obviously, there's a evolution
of
that, and we're trying to improve upon what we've got. But I think the base package, I think last year proved itself in terms of reliability. Now is we think we can improve that again, and with that we can also push the engine a little bit harder. So yeah, the answer to your question is basically it's the same engine. Yeah,
it was a big year for you guys last year, Dyson. Obviously, championship won. Against some stiff opposition from Muscle Milk, race wins, all kinds of stuff going on there for you personally as well. Muscle Milk have got a new car this year, the HPD. We know that is going to be quick. It may take them a little while to get their heads around it, but you've got a real battle for the championship. There's not a huge amount of cars in the championship, but we've said this before, it takes two cars to make a race.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I think the Muscle Milk guys, they've proven since they came into the American Le Mans Series what a great team they are. Greg Pickett, his organisation is really first class. And with Klaus and Lucas as the regular drivers, I mean, nothing can be said about those guys. They're just brilliant guys to race with. But you know,
there's a lot of respect between you two teams, isn't there? I mean, I know you're competitors, but there is a lot of genuine respect there.
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, the Dysons and Pickets have a lot of respect for each other in the way they go about the racing, and you know, in terms of the way they run and their drivers, I've got a huge amount of respect for both those guys as drivers. But you know, it would be nice. I mean, I have to say that, you know, we want more cars in the American Le Mans Series. That it has, you know, is an issue, particularly in P1. That's something obviously we can't control. But one thing is we will do is we'll provide good racing, because I know that the Muscle Milk, the Acura is going to be very strong, as we know. We've seen that in the past years, and it's going to be tough. But looking forward to the challenge, and you know, I believe that this Lola car we've got here is going to be up to it.
Sebring is the first race of the American Le Mans Series. It's tied in with the World Endurance Championship, 60-plus cars at Sebring. Sebring's a big enough challenge anyway, but with 60-odd cars there, it's going to be even more. This is a new car. You haven't had a lot of time. You won't have had a lot of time before you had to roll out with the team at Sebring. Is it almost Sebring going to be, well, let's get through it, let's get as many points as we can, or do you genuinely think that the car will be strong enough out of the box to challenge at the head of the field and possibly get in amongst some of the WEC competitors?
I think, it's a difficult one really to answer, because I think that obviously the primary goal is to go to Sebring and finish the race and score the points, obviously the LMS points. That was crucial for us last year. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of got to focus a little bit on our own plan or our own race. In terms of the car, I'm not too concerned. I mean, the good thing is it is a Lola, so we do have a lot of things do carry over from last year's car, that should hopefully carry over onto this car. Whether we unlock its true potential, perhaps not. That remains to be seen. But the main thing is we go there and when we're reliable, and if it gets to 70% in the race and we're doing okay and we're feeling good and the car's going well, we'll try and push on a little bit. But you know, last year we were by far not the quickest car. We were quite heavily restricted. We were maybe 2 or 3 seconds off the pace, yet we finished in sixth place. So the racer in me wants to go up there and try and challenge for the podium. But I've got to sort of, I think with experience, I understand now that in terms of the championship, we've got to go there and score points.
Steve Keane added to the driving strength, and by no means is he going to let the side down. We've seen the speed of that lad over the last season or so.
Yeah, no, Stephen's a great, great addition to the team. I mean, obviously he came on board last year to join the Oryx car, and you know, was quick everywhere he went, jumping in, having never seen the tracks, and you know, just got a real talent. And you know, Chris and I both felt that he was a good fit with us. He's pretty easygoing. He's low maintenance. You know, which is important because, you know, on these weekends you don't get lots of track time, and it's important to get up and on it quickly. And Stephen really fits that bill, and it's good. And he's even got shorter legs than me, so it means I'm going to have the biggest booster seat this time.
Just a quick thought about the World Endurance Championship, as I see you're racing against them at Sebring, of course. Whilst your mind is firmly on the American Le Mans Series, there's a little part of you looking at the World Endurance Championship and saying, as a driver, it'd be nice to have a shot for a World Championship.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I would love to be in an ideal world racing in both series. But it was actually quite close. But the problem that came actually was Sebring, in the respect that, you know, you can't drive for two teams in one race. So had it not been for that, I possibly would have been doing the WEC as well. But still, you know, I love racing in America. I'm thrilled to be racing the American Le Mans Series. It's a great series, and I love being part of that paddock. And while I am sad that I'm not doing the WEC, I'm extremely happy to be part of the American Le Mans Series.
You can drive for two teams, you can't score points for two teams. That's the problem, of course, isn't it?
Right, yeah. I mean, I looked into, I actually had a call into the ACO and said, you know, could I drive in two cars in the same race? And unfortunately, they weren't having that. But I was up for it. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be. So yeah, maybe next time, maybe next year, if the calendar works, maybe have a crack at it next year.
Defending champions, can you defend the championship in the American Le Mans Series this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's the goal, and you know, really relishing the challenge. I mean, last year was great fun. I really, really loved it, and I'm really enjoying my racing more than ever right now. And you know, hopefully going to go back and try and do it again this year. That's the plan.
Well, we wish Guy all the very best in defending that championship. There is a slight distraction in June, of course, when he and the rest of the Dyson Lola team contest the 80th running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans, but we look forward to seeing them, meeting them and talking about them around that great race. Thanks to Guy, to Sam Smith for setting it up, and to Julian Soule for giving so generously of his time. This part of the year is massively busy for anyone in motorsport, never mind someone who's trying to assemble sports cars and get them on several other continents by the end of the week. It's good news from Lola, isn't it? And as soon as we find out who those other two cars are going to, and indeed what engines will be powering them, we'll make sure that you find out too. Make sure you're listening to Midweek Motorsport every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock UK time. I'm John Hindhoff. Thanks for joining us on our behind-the-scenes look at Lola Cars at Huntingdon. Have a great season. Bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemon.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.